We've been talking about the continual pursuit of more, and I hope you've enjoyed this as we talked about pursuing perfection, pursuing fame, pursuing comfort last week. You might say this morning, if you weren't here, that it doesn't sound like pursuing comfort is such a bad thing, if you weren't here last week. But as we learned, it's impossible to live by faith while also pursuing comfort. But today, as we wrap up, we're going to be talking about the pursuit, and this is something probably I struggle with the most, the pursuit of approval. Do you like me? Do you approve of me? The battle within us that is constantly seeking the approval of others around us. Anybody else struggle with this? Or is it just, please nod your head. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Which leads us to trying to please people over trying to please God. And I figure there's people in this room that they might care a little too much about what people think, right? Is anybody in here? Why don't you raise your hand? If you think too much about what people think about you, okay, you might be the person in the room raising your hand because you don't want to hurt my feelings. You ever have that? You know? You might have an issue with caring a little too much about what I think about you. But how do we know if we are battling with this need to please? Well, you obsess about what other people think. You ever have this? You like my... No one commented on my new shoes. I'm very heartbroken about this. Right? Do you approve of these? All right? Do you like my music? Do you like my profile picture? Are we okay? I saw you read my message on Facebook. You didn't respond. In fact, I saw the three dots that mean you were writing out a message. And then you didn't. Nothing. Do you like me? I've never done this. Okay. In my life, I struggle with this on a weekly, probably daily, probably minute-to-minute basis, where I want to know exactly what other people think about me.
You're a real common.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm going to go home and think about that for the rest of the day. Honestly, for the first about 5 or 6 years of me being a lead pastor here, 30 seconds would not go by at the end of a service where I would come down from preaching and I would have to go up to anyone that would listen and say, how was that? Did you like that? I probably still do it. Actually, now I just call my dad on the way home. Was that okay? I'm like a little puppy dog, like needing approval. Do you like me? Okay, here's another sign that you might be dealing with this need to please. You are often overly sensitive to criticism. Anybody? Like, oh, just crushing. 100 people can say a nice thing about you, but one person says something critical, and you obsess over that one little thing for days, weeks, months, years. Still hurts, right? I still remember a class that we had in Bible school called Expository Preaching. It was taught by Fred Fulford, who's a friend of my dad. He taught us how to preach. Well, sort of. We were like 20 years old. We didn't know anything. But I remember in this expository preaching class, our final exam was preaching in front of the class. And up until this point, I had never talked in front of anyone. And so this was nerve-wracking. But not only that, every student in the class had a piece of paper and they were grading you. And your peers were grading you as you were preaching. And I remember, and then you had to go after you preached, the teacher filmed it and you had to go to his office and watch it with him and read through the comments. Yeah, you know what? And there was one, it probably wasn't even negative, but I just took it negatively, right? And I still think about it, okay? I won't tell you what it said. You have a hard time saying no. Anybody else? Just me, okay. You might You may find yourself avoiding conflict. Anyone who knows me knows that's true. You will say yes to things just so people's feelings don't get hurt. Yes, you are often the person that buys everything that kids, right? Right? You are the person that buys everything that that kids bring by your house, all the cookies, chocolates, whatever it is. Any sob story that comes to the door. Oh, that's dad? Okay. My mom says that's my dad. But here you go. Proverbs 29. Get the scripture, Pastor. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. What is a snare? It's a noose for catching animals or a hook that was in the nose of the animal. Now, I thought about giving you a very accurate representation of what a hook in the nose is. I'm not going to do it. No. I could ask one of my boys to come do it because, you know, it's up there all the time. But you can picture that, right? Like a hook in the nose. That's what a snare is. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I've got good news for you today. Whoever trusts in God and his plans he has for you rather than fearing man will be kept safe. But that's very easy for a pastor to stand up on a stage and say, you don't know the people that I'm around, Pastor. You don't know how hard it is. I need their approval. It's not just a relational problem, just like the other problems we've looked at the past couple of weeks. At its core, this is a very spiritual issue, this need to please others. And I'm caught all the time. It's like, I just want to be a nice, I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to be happy. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the fastest way to forget about how God feels about you. Constantly asking yourself, what does that person think? What does that person think? Instead of saying, what does God think about me? And just living from there.
Beautiful.
So we have to have a different goal. We have to move from living for them, whoever them is to you, right? It can be anyone. It can be a boss. It can be a coworker. It can be a friend. It can be your kids. It can be your parents. Whoever you are living for approval of. And we have to start to build our lives on living for the approval of God and Him alone. Not just in theory, not just on Sundays, but we actually have to live this out. Day to day, living for the approval of God. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said this. Obviously, Galatians 1, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval. I love how Paul, right? He's like, you see me. Obviously, I'm not trying to, right? You know these people too, right? That obviously, they're not trying to win the approval of people. I think some people take pride in this as well. But I'm trying to win the approval of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. To be a servant, you have to place yourself under someone else's authority, no matter where you serve. You understand this? No matter where you serve, you cannot call yourself a servant or even whatever. You have to put yourself under the authority of someone else. So if we are trying to live for the approval of others, we can't possibly put ourselves under the authority of someone else. You can put yourself under one or the other, but you cannot live for both. The approval of others and the approval of God. You can't do both at the same time. But we are drawn. It's human nature. We are drawn like that snare, the hook in the nose. Right? We are drawn towards wanting the approval of others. Some of us are bent that way more than others. But today, why don't we have a little discussion about two facts about this disease to please, the pursuit of approval. And we're going to be very honest with ourselves this morning. People pleasing is a form of idolatry.
Yes.
People pleasing. When I wrote this down this week, I said, I'm people-pleasing every single day. Dad, does this hurt? People-pleasing, yeah? People-pleasing every day. So we talked briefly a couple weeks ago, the 613 Levitical laws, which started out from 10 commandments, right? And we get to 613 laws, which started out with the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some of you might be saying right now, I'm good with that one. There's only one God. I don't have any statues in my house. I've never made a golden calf. I don't have any. I'm good with that one. But what is idolatry? It's putting anything before God. What we think about, what we spend time on, what we spend money on, the shows you, what you might be putting before God. And I'm sorry to tell you, but if there are things that you think about before thinking of, right? That thing has become your God. We hear it said all throughout the Bible that God is a jealous God. He wants to have all of you. He wants to be in your thoughts, your words, your minds, with whatever you do. He wants all the glory. Jesus talked about this in John's Gospel, John 12. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God.
Yes.
Wow.
They loved human praise more than praise from God. It doesn't always start with big stuff. It will start with just something small that you might not even think about. I remember a time when my need for approval took over my entire life. And it wound up with me doing things that I would never even want to do regularly. I think I've told this story before. When I was grade 7. How old are you in grade 7? I don't even know. 12? I was 12. I was the shy kid, but I wanted to be approved by everybody. I wanted to fit in. And one day my friends got this idea. Have you heard this story from me before? That we wanted to climb the roof of the church next to the, right? There was a ladder on the side of the building. Hey, have I told you this before? I'm scared of heights, okay? But I wanted to fit in. So they went up the ladder onto the roof, right? And I just here we go. I need to, you know, I did it. And at the moment, my need for these kids' approval and my desire to be in the cool kids' club was more than my desire to break rules, to obey teachers. It was even more than my own personal fears. Like, you couldn't pay me to go up a ladder onto a roof of a building. But a couple cool kids go up, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. Now, if you're wondering, we did get caught. Because we didn't know there was work being done on the roof. So when we got up there was people up there. yeah. And then we lied about who we are, but the guy recognized. It was a mess. It was funny. They asked for our names, and we told the guy each other's names. So even if they believed that we were someone else, we were telling on each other. So we were quite dumb and in grade 7. All right, let's move on from that story. It's a hard truth to swallow. But the fact that it is that people pleasing is a form of idolatry. We're putting things ahead of where we put God. We're thinking about people pleasing. I go to bed at night. How do I make that person like me? Right? The second fact about the disease to please is the good news. The approval of God sets us free from the disease to please. The approval of God. I love the way Paul says it, 1 Thessalonians, on the contrary, right? We speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Think about how freeing this truth is.
Yes.
We can't please everyone. I should write this on my forehead and look at it in the mirror. We can't please everyone. No matter how hard we try, because you know this, if you please one group, another group is disappointed. If one group likes the music, another one thinks it's too loud, right? Then you bring it down. The other group's like, anyways, I won't get into it. So then you change your plans to please the other group and they change their minds about what they really wanted. Right? Has anyone in this group tried to please a group of people all at the same time? It doesn't work. If you figured it out, I'd like to steal your notes, actually. But we can't please everyone, but we can please God.
Yes. Amen.
Because of what Christ did for us, we are forgiven and we can be changed. We can be set free from the obsession of seeking approval from others. Instead, we can focus in on what we are called to do. And it's almost a different wording. We live as if we are those approved by God. That's what Paul said. So instead of living for the approval of others, we're not even living for the approval. We're living from the approval of God. My hope and prayer for you today is that you'll truly accept this life-changing truth. Because if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, God approves of you. God doesn't just love you. He accepts you. He likes you. Right? You remember in third grade when you want to figure out if a girl likes you and, you know, you send her a note over and it's got three boxes. Do you like me? Yes. No. Maybe. And the only thing you didn't want them to check was maybe. Let me know what you think. Maybe then... No, God has sent the note back, right? Like you. Okay, like you. Okay. That's a dumb example. Anyways, my point is that God's answer is yes. He likes you. He loves you. You are approved by God through Christ. Think about this. Your worth isn't based on what people think about you. That's freeing. Your worth is based on what God thinks about you and what God has done for you. Done, past tense. Who does God say you are? I've got a lot of examples. We'll breeze through. You are a new creation in Christ. You are forgiven and your sins are washed away. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You are God's masterpiece. You are the light of the world. You are filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are Christ's ambassador. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are greatly loved by God. We need to embrace these truths. We need to embrace it. Hold on to it. Let it overcome you. You can't please everyone, but you can please God. And because of Christ, he approves. You are his. When you really let this truth, and I'm still working on it. When you let this truth of God loves me, he really loves me. He likes you, right? When you let that really sink in, what other people think about you doesn't really matter. And again, really easy for me to say, I'm working on it. But when you believe this truth, you can declare it. You can live it. Because I'm his, I won't obsess with what other people think. Because I'm crucified with Christ, I will address problems and I will never fear conflict. Because I belong to Christ, I'm not going to have hurt feelings. Ooh. But I like having hurt feelings. I like being offended. Because I'm accepted, I will say yes to what God wants me to do and say no to the rest. But Pastor, I've got things to do. I don't have time to do it every day. We have time for what we make time for. Because I'm accepted, no one can steal my joy. No one can talk me out of my purpose. No one can stop me from doing God's will. I'm accepted. I belong to Christ. I'm crucified. I'm his, right? We belong to him. Fear of man proves to be a snare. It drags you in the wrong direction. But whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. It's because of the work of Christ on that cross that we get to have the opportunity to live in freedom. It's because of the work of Jesus that we no longer have to live for the approval of others, but we get to live from the approval of God. It's because of the way that God loves us that we get to have the things of eternity on our minds, rather than the temporary things of this world. I often have to remind myself of this, and maybe this is a good reminder for all of you. Your life here on earth is short. Even if you live a long life, it's short in compared to eternity.
Yes.
But don't waste your life living for the approval of others. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters are the eternal things. What Jesus has done for us. Who God says you are. Living from the approval of God. Saying, because I'm his, I will say yes to him and no to everything else. So today, how about let's all agree that we will no longer say yes to the things that we should say no to. Let's not be that 12-year-old Drew Martin saying yes to the cool kids because he wants to fit in. Saying yes to things that he knows he should say, doesn't even want to say yes to. We will no longer go with the crowd for the fear of not fitting in. We will live for the approval of God rather than the approval of others. And we will always remember who we are in Christ and that we are approved in Christ. And why are we approved in Christ? Because Jesus died on the cross. This all makes no sense without the sacrifice that Jesus made. Because we are all sinners. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And God loved us so much. He saw you and said, they're never going to be able to get to my on their own. They can never do it on their own. They can't keep the 600. They can't keep the, you can't keep one law, let alone 10 commandments, let alone 613 law, right? You can't even keep one. The first one, don't put anything, you're already doing it. There's no way you're going to make it here. God says, I love them so much. I want them to have a way to live with me for eternity. He said, we need a perfect sacrifice. And he sends Jesus, the perfect Son of God, be sent to earth, fully God, fully human. And Jesus willingly comes. He lives a perfect life. He dies a sinner's death. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven, leaving with us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. If we accept Jesus, if we say, Jesus, I believe that you came, that you died, that you rose again, and I want to live for you. The Holy Spirit comes in, fills us, makes us a new creation in Christ, born again, born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts to work on us. Again, we're not living for the we're living from the approval of God. So we don't have to clean ourselves up to come to God. We come to God and he starts to clean us up from the inside out.
Yes. Thank you.
All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this morning, I don't know where you're at in your faith. We're all on a faith journey. Whether we've been here 5 minutes, 50 years, I don't know. Who's been here the longest? Let's play that game. No. No matter how long you've been on this journey, right? God is not done with you. God is not done working on us, perfecting us. He promises he will continue to work on you until the day of completion, until that day when we see him face to face. And this morning, maybe you're at that point where you say, I've been coming to church. I like all the songs. I like this. He's kind of funny. But I've never put my faith. Yeah, sort of funny. I've never put my faith in Jesus. Today, I want this to be your day. And you say, sorry, I am a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life. Make me brand new. Continue to work on me.
Thank you, Lord.
That prayer is answered. Yes, and approved. 100% of the time. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. Amen? And those, there might be people here that have been in church 50 years and have never lived from the approval of God. They're always living for the approval of others. I want that to break today. Where we surrender our lives and we say, Jesus, I'm no longer going to live for the approval of the crowd. I know I can't make everyone happy all the time, even though I try my hardest. Jesus, you are the perfect one. You are the one that we should be living for the approval of. But instead, we're living from your, you already approve of us. We put our faith and trust in you. We are yours. So this morning, wherever you are on your faith journey, there's something for you to participate in this morning, because we're not done. There's still work to be done. We still have seats to fill. And there's still hearts to come to Jesus. So let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you that you are not done with us. God, I thank you that we don't have to strive. We don't have to worry about what the world thinks about. We don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks about us, because we know what you say about us, that we are loved, we are accepted, we are yours. If we are in Christ, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You no longer see us in our filthy rags, but you see Jesus. We thank you for that truth today, that we don't have to live for the approval, but we get to live from approval. When you come to grips with that, when you are children of the King, you have authority. You have power. And you've given us the authority to speak in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that. You've given us the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within us. We thank you for that. We thank you for placing us here for such a time as this, for Selkirk, for the Inner Lake, for Winnipeg, for Manitoba, for Canada. We want Jesus to reign. May your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. And we thank you that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. God, with elections coming up, we don't have to worry because you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are on the throne. And nothing gets by you. Nothing catches you off guard. We can live in security that you are God, we are not, and we surrender and put our trust in you today. We thank you for lives coming into the kingdom. We thank you for those that are putting, fully surrendering to Jesus today.
Yes.
Thank you for each life, each family represented here, each loved one. God, we pray for the prodigals today,
yes,
that they will return. We pray for marriages today, that they will be restored. We pray for relationships, that they will be healed. May we never stop praying for our loved ones who are not, who are far from you. Because we know that you are faithful and you don't give up. You leave the 99 to get the one. So we will continue to pray, continue to believe. We thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done, everything you are doing, and everything you will do. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.